Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. And the word of God for our meditation today is written in Job chapter 14, verse 14, where Job asks the question, if a man dies, will he live again? Heavenly Father, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts through Jesus Christ, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We've been making the point that today is the last Sunday of the Easter cycle. This means that the resurrection of Jesus will not be emphasised so thoroughly or so strongly until the next Easter cycle in 2018. It's also true to say that every Sunday is a mini celebration of the resurrection of Jesus, isn't it? Just as Jesus was raised on the first day of the week, on a Sunday. So every time we gather together in God's house on the Sunday, the first day of the week, we're really celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. And so we should. The fact of the matter is that our faith would be useless, it would be dead, if it were not for the resurrection of Jesus. If it were not for the resurrection of Jesus, if you didn't believe in that, you wouldn't be here this morning. Not if you believed that Jesus was still stone cold in his tomb. What a difference Jesus being alive today makes to us for our past, our present, and our future. You see, every day we're confronted by death, aren't we? You read your newspapers, watch the TV, and you see death right before your eyes. Only a few days ago, we heard about the bombing in Manchester in England, when 22 young lives basically were snuffed out by a suicide bomber. Constantly read about thousands of people dying because of some horrific plague or a famine. Every day people die from some kind of an accident. You name it. Lately, as Val and I have been driving through the Adelaide Hills to visit our daughter near Tunkillo, we've marvelled at the beautiful autumn leaves and so many trees in the Adelaide Hills. And once again, what do? They remind us of death. Death is everywhere. And it reminds us that one day we must face it too. As we get older, we can't help thinking about death. It's just natural, isn't it, that it becomes more and more evident. We can bury our head in the sand and try to ignore it, but it's not going to go away, is it? The sensible thing to do is to face death head on. And when we do that, we're confronted by two questions at least. One, is death the end? The finish? Are we like a candle when we die, which is snuffed out to be no more? Or is there life beyond the grave? Remember Job? He faced one catastrophe after the other, didn't he? First of all, he lost all his flocks. And all his servants, and all his sons and daughters, and finally, his own health. We find him sitting on a pile of ashes, feeling very, very sorry for himself. In that state, he asks the question, if a man dies, will he live again? His wife didn't seem to think so. She said to Job, if this life is all, why not curse God and die? Eventually, Job stops feeling sorry for himself and he makes a wonderful declaration of faith and hope. He says to his wife, I know that my Redeemer lives, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. But when you stop and think about it, it does seem impossible for life to follow death, doesn't it? Yet remarkably, in spite of this, every civilization that has ever lived on this planet has believed in some form of life after death. The Egyptians, for instance, believed that everyone had an immortal soul. When a person died, the soul left the body, but it would one day return to the body as long as that body was cared for properly, as long as it was embalmed. And so the Egyptians perfected the skill of embalming bodies. The ancient Chinese, long before Christ, believe in existence after death. And if you go to Xi'an today, you will find a tomb there. That's east of west of Beijing, isn't it? You will find a huge tomb in which an emperor was buried when he died, along with his wives who were still alive, his officials who were still alive, his servants who were still alive, and hundreds of terracotta soldiers who were to look after him in the next life. Greeks and Romans also believed in the immortality of the soul. And when the Apostle Paul is standing on Mars Hill near Athens, talking to the Greek philosophers, the wise men of the age, he said, "You people believe in the immortality of the soul. Well, I'll tell you something else. Something else will live after death. Your body will be raised from the dead." And they laughed at him. That's an impossibility, they thought. But people are still laughing today in the belief that human beings will be raised from the dead. Just doesn't seem possible, though, does it? That a body which turns to dust has a future, a living one. So what's the answer to Job's question? If a man die, will he live again? You have to decide whether you want the answer the world gives you or the answer that God gives you. I know which one I'm going to go for or have gone for. God's answer, you see, is a resounding yes. The scriptures are very clear on this question. King David declares in his psalm in those well-known words, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And Joy Baxter, your father believed those words, didn't he? And we heard them at his funeral. What a wonderful comfort they are to Christians. The Apostle Paul taught, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you're still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all people. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Jesus was the first one to be raised from the dead. You might say, well, there are other people before Jesus who were raised from the dead. No, they were resuscitated. They had to die again. But Jesus rose forever. And he is the first fruits of all those who will die in the future. Obviously, if there's nothing beyond the grave, it would have made no sense for Jesus to come down here on this miserable planet to become one of us, to walk in our shoes and finally take experience a cruel death on the cross. There wouldn't have been any point to it, would there? But people might argue, but if Jesus hadn't done that, then we human creatures would still be lost and condemned in our sins because of our sinfulness. And the answer to that, big deal. Who needs forgiveness if there's no punishment after death, if there's no life after death? No, Jesus did all that he did because there is life beyond the grave. Eternal life with him in heaven, or eternal life of Satan in hell. And that's why he came to rescue us from an eternity in hell. So Jesus taught, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Now listen to this. And I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Why should you believe Jesus? Why should you believe this wonderful promise? For the simple reason, because of his resurrection. Because he was raised from the dead, because he rose again on the third day, he proved his total power and authority over death and his ability to raise up all those who have died. So he promises, because I live, you shall live also. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Can you imagine what life would be like without this sure hope? Have you ever attended a funeral conducted by a secular celebrant? Have you noticed the difference between a Christian funeral and a secular funeral? Have you ever tried to comfort a friend, a neighbour, or someone in the family who's lost a loved one who was not a Christian? Pretty hard to find comforting words, isn't it? You know what life after death consists of for most people these days? Memories. Memories. Last Monday, I went to our local newsagent to find a sympathy card for Kay Weebush. Remember Kay and Alan? Her mother died recently. So I went to the news agency to find a sympathy card, and boy, were there sympathy cards there. Huge array. I counted them just for fun. Over 80. I read most of them because I had plenty of time on my hands. My wife was shopping, you see. I found two Christian sympathy cards among them. Two. And I came across a recurring theme in all the others. You know what the recurring theme was? May you be comforted by the memory of your loved one. As you think about your loved one, may that comfort you. I bought one of these cards to share with you. By love, they, the fallen ones, are remembered, and in memory, they live. Even in your sorrow, I hope you can hold on to the thought that a life lived with so much love never really ends, but goes on forever in the hearts of those who remember. Isn't that comforting? Your loved one is alive because he or she's in your heart. When I die, I'm going to be remembered. I'm going to live on in the memory of my wife and my family and my friends, if I've got any. Or in some obscure reference to of a minute in a church council or parish council locked away in the Lutheran archives. That'll be my life, my future. How comforting. People, you see, who do not believe in life after death, or who haven't got a clue what's going to happen when they die, share a common thing. They lack hope. And where there is no hope, there is usually fear, even terror. You see, life without hope is like a balloon without air in it. But guess what? We Christians have an amazing hope, haven't we? St. Peter writes in one of his letters, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You people who have been baptized have been born anew. You've been born into the family of God. And because you are members of God's family now, you possess a living hope. And what's a living hope? A living hope is something which is fair dinkum, which is real. It's genuine, it's true, and that living hope is that you will be raised from the dead because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and because of your faith in him, because you are united with him through your baptism and through your faith in him now. This hope is based on a promise that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for us, the scriptures tell us. Because of this hope we can sing with David too, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Why will Jesus be there with you in the veil of tears, in the shadow of death? Because he will be there to lead you into the glorious light of his home in heaven. If a man dies, will he live again? Yes. Not only will he live again, but a Christian will live with the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in that beautiful home, where even now Jesus is preparing a room for you. We can't imagine what that's going to be like. I was reading the other day about someone facetiously attacking Christianity and saying, "These stupid Christians, they've got this wonderful hope about life after death. Who wants to be in heaven with Jesus Christ singing psalms to God all day long? And what kind of a God is he if that's what he wants his people to do?" We don't know what heaven is going to be like, really. We just know it's going to be amazing. It's going to be fantastic. It's got to be, because God's own Son experienced an excruciating, painful, horrible, humiliating death on the cross so that we could be there with him forever. So keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds always in Christ Jesus, crucified and risen, who promises that because he lives, we will live with him forever. Amen.